In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are some passages in the lectionary that make me wish we were not a church that followed a lectionary, but rather you could go through the Bible and pick out some of those nice passages of Jesus's and preach on those instead. And this happens to be one of those, right? We get that kind of dark passage of Jesus where he sounds almost really angry, right? This darkness about division and all the things about being prepared and all that sort of stuff. But for me, on first glance, it seems really dark. But then that one little sentence that we get about Jesus saying, "What stress I'm under," I think gives us one of these passages that we get Jesus in his humanity. We don't get a lot of those passages in Scripture where we go, "Wow, there's a Messiah I can relate to. What stress I'm under," Jesus says. I mean, who of us can't relate at one time or another to that statement? Stress that we all feel. Stress about work, stress about family, stress about balancing family and work, stress about illness, stress about unemployment, stress about you name it, right? And it seems like there is more stress in the world today than ever before. We hear studies about little kids feeling stress today. I don't know about you, but that was not a part of my growing up, feeling stress when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. But little kids are feeling stress. We have a Savior, our Lord, who has been there, done that, knows what that feels like, knows that feeling in the pit of your stomach, that knot, knows that feeling of, "I can't do one more thing. I can't take on one more thing. I can't have one more person asking me for something." All of those emotions that we have felt at one time or another, Jesus has had them. We have a Messiah that knows of what we speak. I think Jesus's stress came from two parts or two things in this particular phase in his life. One, he's now on his way to Jerusalem. And he knows that all of these conflicts that he has been having along his journey with all the people that oppose him are going to come to a head there. That's the place of power. And that's the place where things are really going to hit the road. And this baptism by fire for him is going to end probably most likely in the way that it has for all the people who have opposed Rome and caused trouble, and the people who have caused trouble within his own faith. And it is not going to be pretty. And he knows that his time is getting short. And the other thing I think that is causing him a lot of stress is that Jesus knows humanity. Jesus knows us, of our resistance to change, of our fear of the unknown, of our reluctance to get involved. He knew his time was short, and he needed people to get on board. And it wasn't easy. Now, you would think it would have been, right? Here was this man. Here was this person doing all these amazing things, healing people, feeding people, and preaching a message of peace, of love, of forgiveness, of kindness, of generosity. Who says no to that? Who doesn't jump on board with that, right? I came across this little tidbit from Laughing Out Loud and Other Religious Experiences, compiled by Tom Mullen. Things like, my religious denomination is a Society of Friends, or the Quakers. I learned upon joining the Quakers that they attack large social and moral problems with conscientious determination. They work for peace. And if you really want to cause conflict, work for peace. I heard other clergy talking about the great problems and divisions it created when they had a Sunday of peace called Peace / Shalom Sunday. When I give bread to the poor, they call me a saint. But when I ask why the poor have no bread, they attack me and call me a communist. Why wouldn't everybody jump on board with Jesus' message? And then, of course, there's just the fear of change, right? I was reading a book the other day, and this woman was talking about a sign that she'd forgotten she had read in the hospital before she left that said, anger is fear's bodyguard. Anger is fear's bodyguard. I had to stop and think about that, and then, wow, did that make a whole lot of sense? Think about all the times of conflict, even in your own lives, even in the church, especially in the church, right? Around things like change. When people get really angry, it's mostly about fear, right? It's about fear of change. It's about what does change really mean? What does it say about what we were doing before? What is it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? What's it going to feel like? Like change and fear and all those things. Anger is usually the emotion that comes out first, right? It's a thing that we put out there to the world because fear makes us more vulnerable, doesn't it? Expressing fear makes us more vulnerable. And Jesus, if nothing else, came to change things, right? Jesus came to set things right side up. However, in a lot of our thinkings, we think it's upside down, right? Because God's kingdom is a kingdom that's not governed by power, but by equality. God's kingdom is a place where the poor are privileged, where forgiveness is the norm, where the lonely and the weak are honored. And that sounds and sounded a little scary. Because what does that really look like? We can say that, but what does that really look like? And what is that going to cost me to make happen? What am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to change? What am I going to have to do to make that really happen? And wonder if I'm on board, but my father isn't. Wonder if I'm on board, but my daughter isn't. Wonder if I'm on board, but my in-laws aren't. What kind of conflicts are going to happen in my life? You can see why people didn't just jump on board with Jesus' message. And it's not so different today, right? We might not have the conflict of families as first century folks did just by believing in Jesus as the Messiah. But we still have to think about what does that whole kingdom building really mean? What does it mean to really accept all the aspects of Jesus' message? What does it mean to really be on board with that? What might our personal and church lives really look like if we took Jesus' words more seriously at home, at work, at school, in our communities, in our churches? Might we experience more of the stress and conflict that Jesus is talking about today? If we fully embraced the kingdom life Jesus describes and invites us into, as we continue in this church to strive, to really strive to be a church that love built, what steps might we have to take to embrace more fully our participation in that invitation of Jesus's? To be a welcoming, loving, uplifting, supporting, generous, forgiving, loving, healing community in all that that embraces. What would it cost us to do that? What would we have to change? What would we have to give up? What would we have to be involved in, invested in? What kind of conflicts would that cause for us? What are we willing to do? What would it cost us to not be people that are just willing to look at the weather and say, oh, it's going to rain? Because there's nothing we can do about that, right? But to have to look at the present condition of our world and say, if I'm really a disciple of this man's, I got to do something. Amen.